Well, good morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, my name's Kim Myers, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving here at St. Andrew. We are in our final week of our sermon series that we titled Dear Church. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the people of the city of Colossians. It gave us many, many different things that we can learn from. What I have found interesting each and every week as I've prepared to preach is how we can use these words still today. Scripture is the living, breathing word of God, and in that means that we are a part of Christ's church. Just to give you a little context, right? Paul is writing this scripture to the people to remind them that Christ is center in all that we do. And also to put away all the distractions that this world brings us. To unify our hearts and our minds and our soul as a community. And to do that through prayer and through worship. It really is that difficult and that simple to be God's church. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the words of a stranger, in the chatter of a child, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds, the longing of our hearts and our souls, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Well, we're going to start today in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love that binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called to be one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, listen to this. I'm going to say it again. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What I love about Paul is when he writes letters, he reminds people of who they're called to be. Not once does he send a letter to a church and say this, "Hey," this is usually how he does his letters. "Good job. Stop doing this. Please do this. I love you." This is in the middle of the letter. "Please do this." Yet not one point in this letter does he call each and every person to perfection. No. He calls them to live out their faith. How? Clothed in Christ. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you ask my friends and family, they would pretty much be quick to tell you that Patience isn't something that God gifted me with. In fact, it's something I must work very hard for. And through that, sometimes I'm lacking in kindness and gentleness. Yet I can get those things through Christ. And that's what we are called to do, to put Christ back in the center of our lives in all things. What did the scripture say? Love Jesus on Sunday morning and that's it? No, my friends. In every single thing you do, do it through prayer and rejoicing Christ as our Lord and Savior. Every single thing. As I was sitting here, I was watching a young family in the cry room changing a diaper. And I thought, do we praise God in times of changing a diaper? And actually, there is a book called Every Moment Holy that has liturgy for drinking coffee, for changing a diaper, for planting a garden, just things we do every day. It also has before the hard meeting, after a doctor appointment, at somebody's deathbed. One of the greatest honors I have here at St. Andrew is officiating funerals. I know that sounds weird, but it's just this truly holy and humble, just pastoral experience. Sometimes I officiate funerals for people older than me, and sadly, sometimes I officiate funerals for people younger than me. And there's been way too many of those recently in my life. And I was calling my husband, Dan. Typically, when I walk out of this place, I'll call him and say, hey, I'm on my way home. Do we need anything? It's just kind of a rhythm I do. This day, I was calling him to say, hey, I'm on my way home, and I am not getting anything. I'm done. And he asked if I was okay. And I said, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the answer, right? Más o menos. And I just said, I'm glad I don't do this alone. And he was like, oh, did Arthur or Jimmy come and help you officiate the funeral? I was like, no. It was God. And I want to remind you of a word that is used in this scripture. The word bearing in scripture is really, it means to do, to endure. I love this part of the definition. To put up with, to be patient with, or to support. This isn't a word that we use in our vernacular today, but it is something that we do well, especially this church. We're called to do life together. To bear with one another on our good days, on our bad days, on our just plain old boring Tuesdays. It calls us to be patient. Patient in relationships, being patient with each other's weaknesses and failures rather than being harsh. It calls us to have endurance in love. Choosing love over frustration. It calls us to bring forgiveness and grace. Bearing is a word that's linked to the word forgiving. Why? Paul reminds us of this time and time again. Because Christ first forgave us. And then it's calling us to carry each other's burdens. I don't know about you, but I could not get through my life alone. I need the support of this church. I need the support of my friends and my family to remind me who I'm called to be on days when I might not be living out with the compassion and kindness and grace that God has called me to live. Unity in Christ's body is something that Paul reminds us of again and again and again. Yet again, he does this not with just saying, do it, goodbye. He gives us lists of how to accomplish this. So right in the middle of the letter, he gives us all these words to try to strive to be. I don't know about you, but we're about to leave church today, and I would assume about 80% of you are going to get on the toll road. This is the place that I lose compassion, kindness, and grace super fast. It just vanishes. And I'll tell you, I have a practical trick that I use on my trip. I have a holding cross in my car. And when I feel the compassion and kindness and grace exiting my body, I grab the cross. I really do this. Come in my car, you'll see it. It's in my dash. I hold the cross. So this morning, I got up early, and I thought, okay, if I'm going to do all things through Christ Jesus, I'm going to start now. It's 5:30 in the morning. Let's go. And then I realized I was on cup of coffee number 2 before I even prayed. Like, it just, that fast, do you know what I did? I'm going to be real with y'all. I played a silly game on my phone. Poured a cup of coffee and tried to beat a level. In some ways, this is what Paul is talking about. Put away the things that distract you and focus on the love and the grace and the peace and the wisdom and the compassion. I could keep going on and on and on of who God can be in your life. So I got in my car this morning and I got on said tollway. And it took about 3 minutes for my compassion and grace to just exit the car. And instead, I grabbed my cross. And for the sweet, sweet soul who was behind me wishing I would go a lot, lot faster, I prayed for them. And then when they went around me, I figured, yay, we're both winners in this scenario. Then when I exited the tollway, there was a car that had on one turn signal but decided that they wanted to go the other way. And instead of thinking ill thoughts towards that person, I thought, I bet they're heading to the hospital. And I prayed for them. It's simple things like this that transforms each and every action that we do. When Paul is calling us to be compassionate and kind and meek and gentle, that doesn't mean you have to have a room with candles and music. That means you need to be intentional with your faith. And he's actually calling us to be practical with it also. Let's continue in Scripture, chapter 4, 2 through 6. He's giving us actual instructions on how to do this. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. I find this amusing because I don't know about you, but sometimes at night when I start to pray, I wake up the next morning and say amen. He's telling you to keep alert in your prayers. Be intentional. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open the door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so that I can reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned, I would use the word preserved, with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. I'm going to go back to how he says this in verse 17. I don't think I can say this enough. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. Everything you do. Taking my glasses off. Praise God. Putting my Bible down. Praise God. I'm going to go home and take a nap. Praise be to God. Start your day centered in Christ. Ask for the love and the compassion and the grace that only God can give you to begin your day, so that each and every day throughout the week can be filled with that. Because without my life being filled with God's grace and kindness and compassion, my patience goes away real quick. And then so does my kindness. And so does my love for others. Yet, as Jimmy so wisely told us, Lent's coming. We get these seasonal opportunities as a church to refocus, to remind ourselves, to take away what needs to be taken away, and be reminded of who God is calling us to be. Embrace it. Embrace it, my friends. Take the time to be devoted to your faith in a new way. Maybe it's turning off your car radio when you're doing your commute. Maybe it's giving something up. Maybe it's adding something too. I've done each and every one of those things in a different way, in a different season, because this church wants to meet you where you're at and then just take you a step further. And we want to bear with you your faith life. The good days, the bad days, the ugly days, the boring days. We want to do it with you together. So Paul gives us the answers. One more time. To put Christ above all. Chapter 1, that's what he says time and time again. Put Christ above all. I think if I were going to ask you who's center in your life, you would probably respond, Jesus. At least on Sunday morning. But then I'd ask you to look at your calendar. When you go home, look at your bank account. Look at the last text you sent. And figure out how to reorder all of that to ensure that Christ is at the center. Then we're reminded of Paul's ministry that is a gift to us still today. We are still learning from his wisdom and his words to keep our eye on Christ. To not be distracted by the outside world, to know who we are called to be. By Christians, we are not called to be better. We're called to love better. How do we do that? Living the new life of Christ. Clothing ourselves with Christ in our words and our deeds. We do this in our Christian relationships with each other. We do it as a church, and in that, it transforms our home. It transforms our work. It transforms our friendships. Through prayer, through sharing this gospel message, and through remembering our why behind it. God first forgave us. We are just called to act and respond in faith in return. So as you go out this week, go out reminded that we are doing this together. If you need help, ask for help. If you need to take a deep breath and say a prayer, do it. Before your first cup of coffee, thank God for being a part of your life. It is that simple and yet that difficult. But as I watch the acolytes walk out of here at the end of traditional, they took the light of Christ out into the world. That's what you are doing today. As you leave this place renewed, reminded, and clothed with the Holy Spirit that will guard your hearts and your minds in everything you do. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we go out beloved children of God, called to be your church. Remind this even in our simple acts of making breakfast, our commute to work. Remind us of this in how we interact with others. Put your love, your grace, your peace, and your hope back at the center of all that we do. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.